Morning. The reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 11, and is found on page 1468 in the Church Bibles. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus.
Thanks, Robin. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before. I just want to say two things before we pray. The first is that in the Willows Weekly this week, there's a great update on our finances. So please have a look at that during the week sometime. And if you have any questions, please email Jenny, who is the treasurer, and she'll be able to answer your questions really well. The other thing I want to say is that next Sunday after the service, we'll have a bring and share morning tea. I want to try and do something once a month where we kind of have something special together after the service. So we did a bacon and eggs a few weeks ago. I'm not sure if it was exactly a month ago, but, you know, felt like the time's right. So next weekend, bring and share something. Now, if that stresses you out, just don't bring something. Just come and eat other people's food. If you like, do not give it a second thought. If I have a good week, I might make some scones. If I have a bad week, I'll buy some hot cross buns. So maybe you'll be able to tell from what I bring next week. But maybe I'll be crafty and try and hide it. Anyway, just next week we'll have a bring and share morning tea. It'll be out the back and just a good chance to hang out and to encourage each other. So anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can be here together. Thank you so much for the rain. Thanks for the way it's cooled everything down. Father, as we look at your word this morning, please give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Please help us to see that Jesus is the King of the world. And Father, help us to know that he came to bring rest and restoration. Father, help us to know that King Jesus is good and he wants our best. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you ever saw a series called John Safran versus God. Now, it might have been on SBS. You can get it as like DVDs if you want them. I've got them if you want to borrow them later on. Now, I need to warn you, it's not a Christian series, but it was really insightful and a little bit funny, if I'm honest. Now, John is genetically a Jew, but in this series, he sets out to take down all religions. And the great thing is he's fair. He's equally pays out on all religions. He does kind of a fair job of that. And these days, it might even be a little bit un-PC, but it is good. And it is a little bit funny, actually. One of my favourite episodes was called Extreme Mormon. It's about Mormon missionaries who ride mountain bikes and do lots of jumps and things like that. You can kind of see the appeal for me there. And He was trying to get into the Mormon movie industry, which is quite big in America. Anyway, it was a bit of a joke. But John, if he was going to follow any religion, he would probably follow Judaism. Like he's a Jew, that would kind of make sense. But he was particularly drawn to Catholicism, and he really liked a guy called Father Bob. That's the older fella in the picture. Father Bob, he's been on the radio before. You might have even seen him on TV. He's a bit of a character. One night, John, as he was kind of digging into Catholicism, he was being trained to be an altar boy, trained how to do the candles, trained how to do the smoking stuff, trained how to do some other stuff as well. And Father Bob was being quite particular. And Father Bob said something like this. He said, "Jesus could turn up tonight and perform these rituals, and the people here in this church would still not be happy." And you can imagine that, can't you? I've been to enough church meetings and things like that to know that some people would not be happy if Jesus rocked up and did something. They'd kind of be, you know, they'd be judging him. They'd be saying, "You know, we can actually do it better than you, Jesus." These people were seeing themselves as the authority and not Jesus. And a very similar thing is happening in our passage today. The last few weeks, we've been seeing that Jesus has been establishing his authority. But the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they don't want to give up their power. And so today in our passage, they're trying to corner Jesus. They're looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, even though he's the legit ruler, even though he's good and wants their best. They want to get rid of him. And we have to pay special attention today, because the reality is, all of us, we want to be in charge too, don't we? That's actually the essence of sin. It's what the essence of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. We want to call the shots on what we do. But if we're going to be part of Jesus' new people, we need to realize that Jesus is the ultimate authority and that he wants our best. He wants what's best for us. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 6. Our first point today is that Jesus is the new authority. Let me read to you from verse 1. "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, 'Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?'" Now, remember what we've seen so far. Jesus called a guy called Peter to follow him, and Peter did, and the reason he did follow Jesus is because he knew he was unworthy. We've seen that Jesus is willing and able to forgive sin. In fact, Jesus has been hanging with tax collectors and sinners, and Jesus has come to bring in this complete new way of being right with God. And so the tension is mounting, the tension between the religious heavies and Jesus. It seems like from what we learn in our passage today that the religious heavies, they're following Jesus around. They're keeping an eye on him. They want to be there when he does something wrong, when he puts a step out of line. That's why we're kind of told about this seemingly random event today. The disciples, they're walking on the Sabbath. They're walking through a field. They grab some grain. They rub it in their hands and they eat it. Now, it's not super clear from the Old Testament if this was breaking the law or not. But the religious types, they were keen for the Jews not to break any laws, particularly the Sabbath. They thought maybe they could do that, maybe they could earn God's favour. Maybe God would get rid of the Romans or something like that. And in order to show that no one would break the law, they boxed in the law. They put all these extra rules around the law to make sure no one would break the law. The Pharisees actually made up 39 extra rules of what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. You couldn't drag a chair through the soil on the Sabbath because that could be considered ploughing the soil. The rules were over the top, and even the religious guys, you know, there's some writings about how they even acknowledge they're over the top. But in the eyes of the Pharisees, Jesus and his followers are breaking the law. Let's see how Jesus responds from verse 3. Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Jesus answers the Pharisees by talking about King David.
See, when King David was on the run from King Saul, David and his men needed some food. And so David rocks up to the tabernacle, that's the special tent, and asks the priest for some bread. You can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 21. But the only bread that's available is bread that the priests and only the priests should eat. But David, he takes the bread and he gives it to his followers. They were hungry, they needed some food. Maybe the law is not as rigid as the Pharisees make out. But anyway, no one gives David a hard time for doing this. The Old Testament does not talk ill of David for eating this bread. David is the anointed king. He's the king that God promises that one of his sons will rule forever. Jesus is saying, no one gave David a hard time, so why are you giving me a hard time? I'm even more powerful than David. Pick up with me again from verse 5. It says this. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. David may have been an important king in Israel's history, one of the most famous. But Jesus is the king of the whole world. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He can do what he wants on the Sabbath because he's the new authority. And it's very interesting that Jesus uses this example of David. You know, David's the rightful king on the run from an evil king. Jesus is the rightful ruler being followed around by the evil religious heavies. And just like King Saul wanted to get rid of King David, well, the religious heavies, they want to bring down King Jesus. But Jesus and his disciples, they can do what they want on the Sabbath because Jesus is the new authority. He's the king of the whole world. Well, during the week, Deb had to go to hospital. She had to go a couple of times. She had really bad, feels unclean saying it, gastro. She had really bad gastro, and it was pretty bad. She does know I'm talking about this, by the way. You can wonder if you're wondering that. But it was pretty bad. It was pretty full on. It's been, you know, no one wants that, right? But we went to the hospital, and we were kind of in emergency in one of the beds there. We overheard a very awkward conversation between a couple of workers. One lady was saying to another lady, don't roster me on as the boss if you're going to micromanage me all day. Now, it was a little bit awkward. It was quite a little heated conversation in front of some patients. I don't know how it felt awkward, but I'm the kind of person, this might reveal part of my personality, but I kind of like seeing those kind of things. They kind of make me I kind of enjoy the moment. Because you're not sure what to do, really, are you? You're kind of like, well, I'm not really sure what to do here, but just enjoy the moment, I think, is what you should do. But, you know, I reckon that lady, she had a valid point, right? If someone makes you the boss, then don't try and micromanage me. Yeah, she was saying, either make me the boss or don't make me the boss. She didn't really care, but she said, if I am the boss, don't micromanage me. Well, Jesus is the new authority. He's the Son of Man. He's the king of the whole world. And the religious heavies, they're trying to micromanage Jesus, aren't they? Trying to tell him how to do his job. But if he wants to walk through a field with his disciples and eat some grain, he can do that. Because he's the king of the whole world. He's the new authority in town. He doesn't have to follow their rules. But we'll see how the religious authorities respond to Jesus soon. But for now, if Jesus is the authority, it begs the question, who is the authority in your life? Is it Jesus or is it someone else? Who is the ultimate authority in your life? It could be your parents. It could be your husband or your wife. It could be your boss. It could be your coach. It could even be your mother-in-law. Who is it that dictates how you will live your life? Maybe it's religious tradition. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's your social media account. Who is the ultimate authority in your life? Maybe it's you. Maybe you just do what you want to do. But if we're part of God's people, if we want to have hope beyond this world, then Jesus needs to be your king. He needs to be the ultimate authority in your life. That's hard, isn't it? I think that's hard for all of us. Because we think if we let Jesus be the ultimate authority in our life, we will somehow miss out. We'll miss out on all that life has to offer. We have what younger people might call FOMO, the fear of missing out. If we let Jesus be king, we might miss out on our best life now or something. But don't forget what Jesus said, and he said this in John's Gospel, that Jesus came to bring life and life to the full. Well, Jesus is the new authority in town, and we're about to see that he wants our best. He wants to bring healing and restoration. Let's pick up again from verse 6. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. See, the action again, it's taking place on the Sabbath. But this time it's not in a field, it's in a synagogue. It's like a building that the Jews would meet in. And there's a man there with a shriveled hand. And we're not told why that's the case. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're there and they're watching Jesus closely. They're watching what he do. Will he heal on the Sabbath? Will we have some ammo? Will we be able to accuse Jesus of doing the wrong thing? Because you know what? They don't want Jesus telling them what to do. They want to be boss. They want to do what they want to do. Well, will Jesus heal on the Sabbath or not? Will he break one of their rules? Now, according to the Pharisees, you could kind of do some medical work on a Sabbath. You could do two things. If someone was going to die, you could do some work on someone, do CPR or something on the Sabbath if you needed to. Or if someone had to be circumcised, you could do that on the Sabbath as well. It's an interesting choice of things you can do on the Sabbath, isn't it? It's kind of like, oh, it's quite limited what you can do there. But Jesus, he's God in the flesh. And he's not some sort of weird medium. And he kind of knows what they're thinking, which you can see in verse 8. And so he gets the man to stand up in front of everyone. And he says this from verse 9. Verse 9, then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Jesus wants them to make a public ruling in front of everyone. Can you do good or can you do evil on the Sabbath? Which is it? What's the Sabbath for? It's a direct challenge to the Pharisees and their authority. Because you know what? They thought, you can't heal. You can't do that on the Sabbath. But Jesus is indicating that they've missed the point of the Sabbath. Jesus is indicating that they have no right to be the authority. And Jesus is indicating that he's the ultimate authority. Let's see what happens next from verse 10. He looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Jesus shows the religious heavies the ultimate intention of the Sabbath. The ultimate intention of the Sabbath was to bring healing and restoration. It was to bring rest. It was one day out of seven where the people could rest and be restored. It was a shadow of the greater rest on offer in Jesus. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you guys have missed the point. And he's challenging their authority in front of everyone. He's showing them the Sabbath was for good. It is for healing. Jesus is also showing us that he's good and he's for people. He's not like the religious authorities who just want people to follow the rules and don't actually care about the people. Jesus cares about the people. He loves and cares. He wants them to be restored. But he doesn't just want to bring temporary healing and restoration. This guy whose hand is healed, he will get old and sick eventually. Jesus wants to bring permanent healing and restoration. And that's why he's come, and that's why he'll die and rise again. And he'll offer to anyone who trusts in him the hope of one day being in perfection forever, with no more pain and suffering, no more tears, no more death, complete healing and restoration. Jesus is the new authority, and he's not power hungry, didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life up for people like you and me. Now, I've had a number of great bosses in my life. I've also had some terrible bosses. One of my bosses used to sit a couple of metres away from my desk with no shirt on and smoke lots of cigarettes. I'm glad I don't do that job anymore. It's an environmental science kind of job, so if you think about environmental science, don't do it. Don't do it, no. Anyway, he was not a great boss. I've had some great bosses, though. Jason is a great boss, if you're wondering. But the boss I want to talk about this morning, his name was Warren, or Wazza. I used to work on his macadamia nut farm when I was at uni. I used to drive the tractor. I used to whippersnip. I used to burn stuff. I used to move stuff. I used to sort nuts. It was great. Warren would fondly tell you a story about how one day a big ant bit my thumb and it hurt a lot. And so I went and got the can of petrol and put it down their hole and returned the favour to them. He loved telling that story. Anyway, he was a great boss. And he would always pay me on time. He would always give me morning tea and lunch, and we'd always have a great chat afterwards. Warren and his wife even named a tree after me. I was like their adopted son or something. I loved working on their farm. It was one of the best jobs I've ever had. Warren was a great boss. It was clear he was a boss, but he was for me. He had my best in mind. That was super obvious. Friends, Jesus is not some new evil authority. He's not some self-obsessed boss. He's not a narcissist who wants to control every part of your life for his own benefit. He came to die in our place. He came to die on the cross. He came to bring eternal rest, the rest the Sabbath always pointed towards. He wants to bring us ultimate healing and restoration, healing from our sin-riddled bodies and this fallen and broken world. He wants us to be with him in perfection forever. So I guess the question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? If you don't yet trust in Jesus, know that Jesus is the King of the whole world. And he wants you to put your trust in him. He wants to be your King. And it might seem like you have to give up so much to trust in Jesus. You have to give up being the boss of your own life, doing what you want to do, chasing your dreams. But Jesus is the rightful ruler of this world. And he's the rightful ruler of your life. And he wants what's best for you. That's why he came to die, to restore your relationship with your Creator, so that one day you can be with your Creator in perfection forever. Jesus does have your best in mind. Now, if you do trust in Jesus, and I know that many of you do, I also want to remind you that Jesus has your best in mind. Following King Jesus is the best thing that you will ever do, but sometimes we can find it hard, can't we? Sometimes following Jesus is really hard for all of us if we're honest. When life doesn't go the way I want it to, when life is hard, that's when I wonder, is King Jesus actually good? Does he actually want my best? But when we kind of get to those moments and think about life like that, we need to remember what Jesus actually promised us. He didn't promise us that this life would be awesome. In fact, Jesus said that following him would be hard. He didn't say this life would be easy. But he did say that he would be with us. And remember, in lots of ways, the Christian life, it's not about this life. It's about the life to come and being with God in perfection forever. During the week, I went to Helen McQuaker's funeral. It was a great service. It was really wonderful. But what was really clear from the eulogy and what everything else that was said, it was clear that Helen had quite a tough life. Lots of sad moments. But she was super thankful that Jesus was with her through all of that. and now she's gone to be in glory with her King, where she will enjoy complete healing and rest and restoration for the rest of her days, forever and ever and ever. Friends, Jesus is the King of the whole world. He's not an evil, power-hungry King. He came to save us. He came to lay down his life for us. He has our best in mind. He is good. He wants you to make him your King and to live with him as King. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the amazing gift it is. Father, help us to see clearly that Jesus is the King of the whole world. Help us to know that he's good, that he wants to bring us healing and restoration. Father, help us to know that he'll be with us in this life. Father, help us to know that there's no promises that this life will be an easy one. In fact, it will be hard following your Son. But Father, help us to know he's always with us. Your Spirit is always with us. You're always with us. Father, help us to keep holding on to your Son until the day we meet him face to face and get to be with him in perfection, not just for a day or a week, but forever and ever. Father, help us to long for that time. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.